This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Saturday night edition of Free Talk Live. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the captain,
Riley,
and Peakless Mountaineer.
I was thinking about on the drive over here, there's a bunch of songs with, like, Saturday in the title, right? There's, like, the Bay City Rollers, S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y, night, right? You know, like anything? And then there's, like, I think it's Elton John, who says the word Saturday like 8 times in a row.
Wow.
In every verse, right? It's like, Saturday, 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 Saturday night's all right. Right? You know, and you're like,
well, it seems to be everybody's favorite day of the week.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to be here. Thank you for listening. The telephone number, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through June 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there is no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party.
And, of course, Saturday is the most popular day.
Well, I'm trying to remember the other songs now.
Think about it. Like, Sunday, maybe you go to church, maybe you don't, but you definitely know you got to work tomorrow.
And
people are trying to get their brains back in the mindset of working tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And, like, anything that you, like, haven't done yet that you really need to get done, but you don't have time to do during the week or that needs to be done while you're at work. Okay, well, I guess I better get that done today. You know, did I do the laundry? You know, did I mow the lawn? But Saturday, you got a whole other day to do all that stuff. You can hang out today, and if you want to go drinking tonight, you can sober up tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true.
Sunday is a good day to rest and come back to the mindset of working. Well, Saturday, it's just a play day.
Yeah, I
like reading about people who have sort of escaped the job thing, right? These are people who have, you know, entrepreneurs or they're otherwise freelance, you know. To some extent, they actually work more than, you know, like an 8-to-5 person.
Some of them.
But they are free to prioritize and, you know, knock out their, you know, things to do, their to-do list.
During the week?
According to their own priority and their own hours. Right, and this is a dream for many people. Many people will never achieve that dream, and I like that there is the ability to trade your labor for money, right? And that will exist in a voluntary society. You know, government is abolished, right? But will it be like the traditional 8-to-5 Monday through Friday? I don't think so.
First and foremost. Now, we're used to having 2 days of a weekend.
Right.
Now, that, historically speaking, is bizarre. Now, if you look back in history, one of the reasons that, like, for example, that people hated Jews is because they refused to work 1 day a week.
Hmm.
That was revolutionary thinking.
Why did that get them hated?
One whole day where you won't work for me? How dare you not do what I tell you to do for one whole day?
Yeah,
I want you reaping my grain and carrying my rocks.
Well,
okay, we got to exterminate these people. They're spending a whole day not doing what I tell them to.
Well, people existed in a lot of slavery mentalities.
Yes.
You got to I own you, therefore I get to tell you what day you're going to take off
like,
now.
But yeah. One of the innovations that cannot happen until government is abolished, or at least severely reduced, is something like traffic congestion in big cities, right?
Mm.
All these businesses are open Monday through Friday 8 to 5, right? This, you know, corporate hours, right? Whether it's a tech company or a construction, it doesn't matter, right? All these businesses that are in these downtown areas of these big cities, they all operate between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. in whatever time zone they're in. These cities, the governments of these cities, do not incentivize anything outside of that structure.
Right.
Whereas in the absence of government, all of a sudden businesses would be self-incentivized to, oh, I don't know, have their hours not be 8 to 5, be, you know, 7 to 4, or some other different varying degree of, like, when people come into your headquarters to do their job, so that they can avoid the rush hour traffic, the traffic congestion that happens, you know, an hour or two before and an hour or two after this 8 to 5 period of time. Like, the solution is simple. You just got to prioritize the traffic or incentivize the people who are driving to and from to drive during not so standard hours.
Right.
That's the solution, but it can't be innovated until government gets out of the way.
Yeah, one of the issues of everyone paying for roads and everyone getting them for quote unquote free is that there's no effort put into figuring out who gets to use them when.
Hmm.
So in if I was running a road, it would be perfectly reasonable for me to say, like, I'm sorry, between this hour and this hour, you have to pay me twice as much if you're using my road.
Hmm.
There's too many cars on my road during
right.
these hours.
Right.
So if you want to add to that problem,
right.
you need to give me something extra. And then all of a sudden, you know, A, there's plenty of people who will, like, say, hey, employer, I'll be here at this time, but I'm paying extra to be on these roads at this time.
Right.
I need you to give me more money so that I can pay that guy to be here at the time you want me here. And then the employer can go, oh, well, actually, if you could show up an hour earlier and leave an hour later, that'd be great. All of these things that could happen that could be explored,
right?
If they were, if they weren't in the static system of government,
right? The organization known as government disincentivizes innovation wherever it lives.
It has no imagination.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's not possible. Like, people have gone to work for government entities and been like, hey, I've got an idea. Like, wait a minute. We don't do that around here.
We've got to go file that in triplicate in a form somewhere, and then we have to get approved by the bureaucracy at some point.
We don't just have ideas.
We can't just have ideas around here.
Well, and look at right now. Okay, so we discovered exactly how much of our commerce could be done over the internet. Why weren't we doing this beforehand? Oh, because there's no competition.
Right.
Because of the corporate structure, which is fundamentally a government creation.
It's so funny being involved in voice over IP telephone systems, right? And that gets into like what they call unified communications, which is just like your phones, your conferencing, your web meetings, right? All that kind of stuff. Being involved in that like before COVID. And then during COVID, right? Because all of a sudden, there was incentive for all of these companies to get on board with remote workers, right? And so all of a sudden, they need usernames, credentials, training, you know, best practices on how to conduct their business using these remote worker tools.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, an online telephone and a computer with some online meeting software, right? These are the two basic things, right?
Right.
And so being involved in this stuff before, I had to earn the privilege, right? I had to go to work for this company and work for, you know, like 6 years or something and bust my ass and make sure that I was on top of my crap and that, you know, I showed that I was a trustworthy individual. And then when it came time for my review, I was like, can I have a big-ass raise? And they're like, no, but is there any other, like, intangible benefit? And I'm like, yeah, how about giving me my wings? You've already got, you know, a dozen people working remotely who are, you know, sort of senior type people. I'm like, I think I've proven that I can be trustworthy. I show up, I do my job, I keep my word, et cetera, and so on. And they're like, sure, done. And so then I moved. Right? Then I moved.
That's a good way to move.
Well,
you have trust to someone else, and you can demonstrate that you're perfectly capable of working remote.
But then COVID kicks in,
mm-hmm.
right? And now all of a sudden, like, we got more business, right? Because, like, people are signing up left and right for these tools from the company that I work for. Right? And many other companies, too, right? There's a lot of companies that, like, actually increased their business footprint as a result of government's near declaration of martial law during COVID because now there was incentive for all of these people to work remotely. And so I got to participate on sort of the, I don't want to call it the gold rush, but like the massive influx of new customers that needed these tools to be able to conduct their businesses. And the whole time, like even before all of that, the whole time I'm thinking to myself, working from home is going to be the way of the future. Right.
Right.
The tech exists. I work in it, right? Like,
right.
I see it every day. I work with people who are working remotely 100% of the time, all of the time. There's one guy who, like, was in El Salvador. We had another guy who was in Chile, another guy in Mexico, right? You know, we had international people working for this company.
Mm-hmm.
And it all went well as long as you're responsible and you know the tech. Right? You had the right training. So now somebody like me gets tabbed to, like, give best practices on working from home, how to set up your own, you know, work from home workspace, you know, no distractions. If you can, be in a separate room, close a door, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also give training on the tech itself, on how to use it. And, you know, hey, you know, you got an email with your username and password, and, you know, here's how you use the stuff. And you want to do a web conference, you do this, and it integrates with your email, et cetera, and so on. So my point is that the incentive existed for a mass amount of businesses to get on board with remote workforce.
When COVID happened.
Yes.
Yeah. And the incentive would, and this was my point, the incentive would have existed if there was competition.
Right.
They would have already existed. The fact that the government eliminated all the competition so that we have all of these zombie corporations running around not actually producing anything is why they didn't bother to update. They didn't have to compete with other companies that were being innovative.
Now, the good news is the tech scales.
Yeah.
It's easy to scale technology because we can either add more hard drive space, more power, more whatever, and we can expand the tech.
Mm-hmm.
We can't expand an office very easily, so it's nice that we have the internet to create remote work.
And I know there's been this sort of backlash. No, I don't want backlash isn't the right word. There's been this sort of a some of these businesses have called for a return to the office.
Oh, yeah. Of course they do.
Right.
Like, for one thing, and this is not to be underestimated, people love power. And they had the power to create an environment and rule over their office with an iron fist or a velvety glove if they felt generous. But
and they want to micromanage everything you do.
Yep. They could just pop into your office, peer over your shoulder, make you sweat, plenty of fun for them, not so much fun for the employee.
Yeah.
And you would feel it. You would feel their physical presence as they stare at what you're doing.
Yeah.
Of course the tyrants want that back.
Yeah.
You took away all their fun, all their power and control, and now they can say, oh, well, you're just not being as productive as when I was looking over your shoulder all the time.
Yeah, there's a term that a former boss of mine coined that's when you're in the office and you're doing work as opposed to working from home. Mm-hmm. When you work from home, the tasks are just right in front of you, whether it's your phone ringing or, you know, new email comes in or you got to finish up a project or you got to, you know, I don't know, you know, do a spreadsheet and, you know, give a presentation, whatever it is. The task is right in front of you all of the time. But when you're in an office setting, you are subjected to what my former boss calls drive-bys.
You're right.
Right. And this is just somebody getting up from their desk, walking over and standing behind you until you acknowledge their presence to find out what the hell they want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it is a disruption
mm-hmm.
in your workflow. If you're prioritizing your work and, you know, you've given yourself X amount of time to complete these tasks, you know, with some kind of a buffer, hopefully you're, you know, if your project management skills are on par, you give yourself a buffer to make sure that because something's going to go wrong, Murphy's going to rear his ugly head and, you know, you're going to need some extra time to do something. But these drive-bys, if you will, you can't account for those.
Right.
You can't plan for them. You can't budget for them. You can't budget your time, that is, right? They just happen. And so it's an additional distraction from the tasks at hand mm-hmm. that you also have to manage when you're in the office.
And half the time, it's something where they want to put part of their workload onto you.
Right.
hey, could you do this thing for me? And then you have a choice. You can either face confrontation and say, no, I'm sorry, I can't. Or you can be inefficient, because that's not your job, that's not what you're specializing in, that's not what you're there for, and you're plenty busy as it is.
The next hurdle that I see for these companies that now have most, if not all, remote workers is there's regional barriers, right? There's literally political barriers to this. For example, if I work for a company based out of Seattle, Washington, and they go, sure, you can work remotely, I'm like, great. There's a caveat to that.
Mm.
Right? Because immediately you're like, I can work from anywhere. No, that's not true.
Mm. Oh.
I can only work from within the United States of America, nay, within the lower 48.
Oh, really?
Right?
Really? Wow. Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, so there's some security things with networking and VPNs and that kind of stuff. Some companies are pretty loose with their policies on working remotely, and they're like, yeah, we don't care. Just, you know, if you're going to be in Mexico, let us know, and we'll flip on the Mexico switch for your particular log onto the VPN to get onto the corporate network for the company you work for and access right. all the tools. Other places, though, are not. They are very like, nope, sorry. No, if you're outside this geographic area, there's nothing we're going to do for you. Right. Oh, they'll even tell you they can't because it's against their corporate policy, right? So we're forbidden to open the VPN to a foreign country, right?
Huh.
Yeah.
So that's the great firewall of America, I guess.
Yeah, and Mexico didn't pay for it.
Of course not. Of course not.
So, yeah, there's this virtual political border thing that happens with remote workers. A lot of the reason... people choose to work remotely because they want to have more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be able to take advantage of arbitrage, right? So they make, like I did, like I was making a Seattle salary, and I moved to New Hampshire, Keene, New Hampshire. Cost of living, half.
Right.
As far as like
rent. And you're able to save a lot more money, I'm sure.
And that's a big part of why in the future we're not going to have the centralized hub system that we have had so far.
Right.
Everything is moving to network instead of hub, which is a level of change that people have not even begun to grasp.
Now, maybe they're afraid of like just a mass exodus to like Mexico or something like that by U.S. remote workers. I know that there's already more people looking to expat or at least spend time, you know, whatever they need to. I'm trying to remember what the there's some caveats to like living in Mexico. Like if you're gonna do it, you gotta have stay there for most of the year, but then you have to come back for some period of time, a period of weeks maybe or something like that before you can return on your visitor's visa or that kind of stuff. You can only kind of purchase property there. You have to go through a bureaucratic process to, I can't pronounce it, Fiadesimo, something like that, that you have to, it's a lot like starting your own LLC, right? There's a whole bunch of paperwork you got to fill out, and then basically this trust, this front company, buys the property, and then you lease it from them, and that's how you buy property in Mexico. You also can't buy on, like, the coast, right? There's ways to do it, but it's going to cost you, like, three times the money. But the cost of living down there is still, like, reduced compared to the U.S.
So right? Why on earth are companies not letting you move to Mexico? Like, what's in it for them?
I really don't know.
Other than authoritarian control, I have no idea either.
Yeah, other than like, oh, we can't have our all-employee Christmas meeting, right?
You know, good.
Like, who cares, man? You know? Yeah. Dear employers, first of all, stop buying pizza as a treat for your people. That's not a treat.
It's not.
Pizza's not a treat.
It's not.
You want to do something nice for your people?
Give them nutritious food, maybe.
Or throw some extra dollars on their paycheck, or hand them a gift card if you're worried about taxes. Right?
Well, no, the whole point of buying pizza is that it was cheap for us. We don't want to give you money. That's the one thing we don't want to do.
I'm lucky that I actually worked for a company at one point that actually gave us nutritional food.
Nice.
That's amazing and rare.
Yeah. It got to a point, though, the last time that I was in the office environment, it got to a point where they would send out like an email to everybody. Hey, everybody, we're going to have this, you know, whatever it is, you know, Halloween, you know, we're going to celebrate Halloween on Friday at, you know, 3 p.m. We're buying food for everybody. If you have specific dietary needs, please reply to the HR person, right? So, like, you could be like, yeah, I'm on no-carb carnivore. Can I get a steak? Right? Yeah, they'll bring you, like, a hamburger or something fun, you know, but, like... Like, they will go out of their way to, like, make sure that you get something.
Yeah, I'm that one guy that it backfires on them. Because what they're trying to do, they're trying to give you feelings. They want you to feel a certain way. Mostly, they want you to feel as if this thing that is not your bloody family is a family. Because, you know, your family is the thing that you work for free for.
Yes.
And that's what they want.
Yes.
It's the most annoying thing about having worked for many companies, right? I've worked for many startups or even restarts, depending on how you want to look at these things. Venture capital funded, private capital funded companies that, you know, were in the red, and then we had to get into the black before we could be sold and then absorbed by another this kind of a thing. So it creates opportunities, right? And I love that. I love that, like, if you found a deficiency in how the business was being run and you brought it to somebody's attention, they'd be like, great, you're in charge of that now. Mm. And so now you get a whole different role. You can change a career, right, just by having an idea of how to improve things. So I love that about it. But what I didn't like was all of these companies have to come up with these mission statements, right? And they all say the same thing.
Yep.
They're worded slightly differently, but exactly what you said. They're like, well, we don't consider ourselves a company. We consider ourselves a family.
And it's a red flag when they call themselves your family.
It really is.
It's horrible.
Yeah. And I am one of those guys that backfires when they do pizza because I'm gluten intolerant. So that means you forgot. Because I've told you, I tell all of my employers, you know, the ones that care about, you know, giving food to their employees. Because there are some of them that are reasonably enough don't
care
about
that. But come on, you can just scrape all the toppings off and eat it like that, right?
No. No.
Big bowl of pizza toppings.
I could, and probably still get some crust in there in the process. But no, that's gross.
Yeah. You know, all right.
Now, when we come back, though, I would actually like to continue the discussion on Israel and Iran.
I was going to say, I was going to mention something that you wanted to come back to before we moved on, but we're about to, well, we'll come back to that.
Yeah, I can cover pretty simply, though, that all of this is a response to the bombing of the Iranian embassy in Syria. So for anyone who missed that part of this story, that is why this is occurring.
Who bombed the embassy?
Israel. Israel bombed the Israeli consulate, I believe it was.
Yeah, Israel bombed the Iranian consulate.
I remember that.
The Iranian consulate in Syria.
Okay.
That's why this is happening.
603-283-6160. Still to come, more on the Iran bombings. Plus, why should anyone feel bad for FBI agents? It's Free Talk Live. Stay tuned.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update, I'm Tim Berg. U.S. forces are helping take down Iranian drones headed towards Israel. On Saturday, Iran began a retaliatory attack after an area near its embassy in Syria was attacked by Israeli forces this week, Iran launching over 100 drones and some intermediate ballistic missiles toward military sites in Israel. Officials say U.S. forces are in the skies above Iraq and have shot down some of the drones. Iran releasing a statement saying their attack on Israel can be deemed concluded. California Democratic Representative Sarah Jacobs sits on the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
Given this threat from Iran and our strong support of Israel's right to defend itself, we should be doing what we can on defensive weapons, making sure they have enough Iron Dome interceptors, for instance.
That audio courtesy of MSNBC. This is USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening to our radio program. If you're unaware of who we are and what we do, visit freetalklive.com. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me.
Riley.
And Beakless Mountaineer.
So you wanted to
I wanted to do some projections here on
Let's do a comeback.
All right.
All right,
Come back. I've been here the whole time.
We're circling back to something we talked about in the first hour.
Indeed.
And that was?
The Iran-Israel conflict.
All right.
Which there didn't used to be an Iran-Israel conflict, like, what, a week ago?
Like a day ago, even.
Well, that's not exactly true.
You mentioned the bit about Israel bombed the Iranian
embassy. Yeah. It was consulate, embassy, whatever.
Okay.
Same difference. They all sound the same or act the same to me. Yeah. I don't know the difference.
Yeah. And
consulbacy.
Consulbacy.
Yes, sir.
Emsulate.
Emsulate. Judges? The judges aren't here today.
Seems like imbecilic, but imbecilic.
Anyway, so Israel took out their, their little location within their gangland territory.
Right.
And so now...
Well, in Syria. So that's the fun thing about consulates and embassies. Oh, it was Iranian soil. It just happened to be in Syria at the time. Which is part of my like probable projection for the next move, because America's been ginning for this war forever. They were really, it's one of the things they were pissed at Trump about, is that they had it set up. They were ready to go to war with Iran over this. What did they do? Shoot down one of our toys?
Yeah, pretty much.
And he's like, wait a second.
This is not such a good idea after all.
He asked, wait a second, how many people is this going to kill? Well, I don't know. Do you want me to find out? Yeah, go ahead and find out.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, that was at the beginning of 2020 when the COVID mania began.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is a big part of why COVID mania began. Like, they need to spend dollars. They need to spend more and more and more dollars. So they need reasons to spend more and more dollars. Otherwise, you realize how much they're stealing from you. So, since we weren't going to be ginning up a new war, we had to do something. So it was really convenient for both China and America to do this, because China had the Hong Kong riots to deal with. Hong Kong was like demanding that they have, you know, political rights because they had economic rights. And apparently that's how that works. You get enough economic freedom, you start demanding political freedom. And yeah. Anyway, so Trump asked a very human question. How many people will this drone strike kill? And, of course, they didn't know immediately, because that's not what the military does. No. Okay, so they found out, oh, looks like about 100 people for, you know, shooting down one of your toys.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that didn't seem like a measured response. Holy crap. Anyway, so fast forward to today.
Okay.
Now the U.S. is trying to get back into war with Iran via Israel. So I still think the way that they're going to do that is a bunch of this embassy consulate nonsense, or they'll build a bunch of like new American military bases that just so happen to be right next to every valuable military target in Israel.
Mm.
Whatever way floats their boat to make sure that, oh, we didn't attack Iran. Iran attacked us.
It's the way the military industrial complex funds itself. They sell the American people a war.
Yeah.
They sell it to you as though we actually need this stupid war to save a certain group of people.
Yeah, because Iran is such a threat to us. Really, it is. And so one way or another, the U.S. is going to get into this war. It might be a nice slow drip, drip, drip. We do a proxy war kind of thing. But sooner or later, America gets in on the Israeli side. And then Russia gets in on the Iranian side because they're close allies. Sooner or later, one way or the other, Israel will get enough American backing to push back on Iran. And then Iran will need Russia to get their backing. And Iran, of course, and Russia's backing will, of course, be officially or unofficially at the time from China.
Hmm.
Like, a big part of Chinese manufacturing base is currently going into the Russian military industrial complex right now, just so they can maintain the proxy war that exists in Ukraine. So, great. Great. Now we're going to have all of NATO against Iran, and Iran, of course, will have Russia unofficially or officially, probably officially pretty quick, as its ally.
Yeah.
And then China will unofficially or officially be Russia's ally. And congratulations, folks, we're in World War III, and we can just pray to whatever deity might accept our prayers that they just keep it from going nuclear so that we don't literally end the species by kicking so much dust above the clouds that it never rains back down.
It, one of the things that bothers me about religions as organizations is that the people who subscribe to these religions frequently get manipulated by politicians.
Of course they do. Especially using the politicians that hold to that religion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they use that religion as a way to hornswoggle you to gain your support for said war. Whereas, if they just had to come out with, like, logical reasons to go to war, there wouldn't be any, and people would be like, no, let's not do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but that doesn't happen. Instead, people get used by the system because of their beliefs, their religious beliefs.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things that bothers me the most. I'm not saying that, you know, as a man who formerly claimed atheism and now claims agnosticism, right, just because I don't know enough to tell you whether or not your deity is the one or
I actually agree with that. Like, right. I don't have enough, like, but...
I haven't done enough study, but what I am saying is that, let's just say that you're right, we'll just make sure that your beliefs don't get you manipulated into killing a bunch of innocent people.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, like, at the root of this, this is a religious war.
Oh, yeah. They all are.
This is, there's pseudo-religious. We've had pseudo-religious wars. Like, look at Vietnam.
Oh, and then I remember, like, Bush, too, going, this is a holy war, or whatever it was he said. And I'm like, come on, dude.
He called it a crusade.
Well, the Christians in the United States are all about George Bush, and they were all about claiming Islam is a huge threat. They're going to bring Sharia law to America. We got to go fight the Muslims.
God told me that we should mobilize the U.S. military. And I'm like, no. God didn't tell you that.
No.
I'm sure he believes that. I wouldn't put it past someone... To have appeared to tell him as if it were God.
I'm actually sure that he doesn't, and that in fact it was one of his advisors who told him to say that in order to get support.
I wouldn't put
support.
It past him having actually had a religious experience about how deeply important it is that he has these forever wars. Would not surprise me. But one thing that I just wanted to point out is, like, we lost at Vietnam. And that was something that's like a religion, communism.
Yeah.
This is a religion. You think we're going to win? You think that this is ever going to end with human beings intact? It's not going to. There's a third of the planet that worships Islam.
Yeah, I mean, not as long as politicians are the ones doing the supposed intermediaries, right? Like, they're not there to try and solve this. Right, they're there to try and make this thing go. They want this thing to kick off.
Right,
right. They don't want peace. They don't want people to figure out how to cooperate with each other.
Heaven forbid, people cooperate. We can't have people cooperate. They might
overthrow their differences of opinion and belief. Right, you know.
And that's one of the things where, like, within Islam, you have peaceful Muslims and you have warlike Muslims. Yeah. And the more we do this nonsense, the bigger a microphone we hand to the warlike Muslims.
Yeah. And the same goes for Christians, too.
Yep.
There are definitely warlike Christians.
100%.
More of them than, like, I even
they're
care
really
to admit.
Fundamentalist people that think the end of the world is coming and Jesus
and
is coming to
thing.
Crush their enemies.
Yeah.
They want Jesus to crush their enemies.
Yeah, that's the worst part about this is that they not only think that it's coming, they want the apocalypse.
Oh, of course they do. They want to be front and center promoting the apocalypse because they believe that they are the chosen ones.
All right, it is Free Talk Live. We're a live call-in show. We've got some people holding right now. Let's go over here to, I believe this is David Ridley of the Ridley Report. You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I have an update on a subject that is near and dear to your heart, and that is Ian Freeman's incarceration.
Ooh,
please give us the update.
So it's not quite such an update on what happened to him as what happened to me when I tried to communicate with him.
Oh.
So I sent him a letter about a month ago,
mm-hmm.
And it came back yesterday or day before, roughly. And so when I mailed it to him, I didn't just write his name. I wrote Ian Freeman, and I had a stamp on the envelope that had the word freedom on it.
Mm-hmm.
So after Ian Freeman, I wrote Ian Freeman, who deserves. And then I pointed an arrow to the stamp,
right?
So the letter came back a month later, and it said, writing on outside of envelope, which is not address, is not allowed.
They do not acknowledge that anyone there deserves freedom.
Yeah, Bonnie actually ran into that early on when she sent the letter, and, like, on the back of the envelope, just as she was sealing it, she drew a little heart. On the back of the envelope.
And why shouldn't she be allowed to? It's her husband.
And they sent it back. They were the same thing, David. Same thing happened.
So the way I look at this, I was not angry or sad when I got it back because Ian, he doesn't need a letter all that badly. He's getting letters. But what he does need is publicity. and I'm always looking for any excuse to publicize my concerns about the arrest of Ian Freeman over cryptocurrency. So that gave me a chance to, you know, remind 170,000 of your listeners about the injustices being done to your former host.
Yeah. And it still goes on. For those of you who don't know, Ian has finally been taken into a federal facility. He's down in Massachusetts now, according to my information. Or if he's not there today, he, you know, will be there shortly.
Massachusetts, huh?
Yeah, wow. Yeah. I believe he will be in the same facility that Arya's in, but never shall their paths cross. For at least according to what I've been told from Bonnie at this point. So
that figures.
We have lost. We were able to communicate with Ian before they moved him to the federal facility. Because he was kept at a county facility, they're a little more loose with things like phone time and letters and visitation and that kind of stuff.
They're able to give him a tablet.
Yeah, that's gone now, so we're going to have to adjust to not communicating with him as frequently. But the good news is, you know, he's still alive, he's still kicking, he's still as active as he can be, considering his situation. And so we hope for the best. What else did you have, David?
That is all.
Hey, thanks for the call. How can people find out more about you and what you do?
RiddleyReport.com.
Right.
I love what he does. So
David Ridley, everybody. Yeah. He's a good egg. I like that guy.
He is. He's a good egg.
Moving right along, let's go over here to, I believe this is Ricky from the Commonwealth. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you there, Brother Captain. Brother Riley, Beakless Mountaineer, good evening.
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 Well, I got to think back a little bit. Now, speaking of Brother Ian, that's what brings me to said phone call. It was around September of last year. I made a phone call into the show, and I said, you know, we're having a tough time. I said, first of all, this stuff on the border is just a distraction. We're having a tough time. We're trying, but we're having a tough time facilitating a good war because you got things like the BRICS alliance, you got NATO. Now, mind you, I called this in my words because I said we've been playing around with this thing for, what, 65-odd years or whatever. One of these days, this thing's going to pop, and I'm saying Israel. I called it the mother of all wars. Now, okay. Little did I know this little stunt was going to happen with Iran and the Palestinians. Now, mind you, my point of view is not going to be very popular to Christians of this world, where, you know, I can understand this, you know, but now Netanyahu, he's a real joker because this was a strategic hit on those officials. See, this is, he's just grabbing at straws and dragging us through it now. He knows that we talked our big talk. This is all about words. We don't have any tangible reason to back Israel for anything. We'd love to have our money back. We'd love to have our nukes. You see, we lost control of the Middle East when Saudi Arabia and Egypt joined the BRICS alliance. Now, that's when I, that Thursday, came up with my doomsday predictions that me and Richie are having this bet. But I said it was weeks before when I said about the mother of all wars. Little did I know this would happen, and I'm very upset. This is not going to be good. And it's all BS.
Oh, I mean, of course,
you know,
it is.
You know what we should do, Captain? You know what we really should do? First of all, it's a little late now.
Disband NATO.
Biden already.
That'd be a good idea.
Abolish government?
Well, yes. It's a little late now because Biden already said, oh, you know what? We're going to defend Israel. Boom. Now Israel takes their move. And you know what the bad thing is? This was a massive drone strike. This is unusual. Okay? This has got bad written all over it. You know, we should just say, you know what? It's all PR. You know, you're right on that. When I was hearing that, it's all PR, and it's all to beckon to the Christians for votes. But the reality is we should say, let's get the hell far away from Israel. Now, Iran already said, you know what? We're not intending to hit any United States targets. Now, that's their way of saying stay the hell out of our war. What do you think we're going to do, Captain?
What do you mean by we? Like, I'm going to do nothing.
Yeah, you keep saying we lost control of the Middle East. Like, okay, so first off, no one has control of the Middle East.
I don't control the Middle East. I'm not interested in even
supporting
the Middle East.
But here's one
Second off, even if the U.S. had control of the Middle East, we're not the U.S. I'm not, you're not, Riley's not, Captain Sam.
All right, I agree with that. I agree with that. But when I say we, regardless of the fact that all the people on this phone call agree with that, our government is the one's going to make us pay
with my government
state predictions.
It's not my government, though, Ricky.
You can say that, but when the missiles fly, it ain't going to matter.
You're right in that, but it's still not my government.
Well, now, when you say pay, do you mean like pay the bill, or do you mean like the fact that they are threatening human life on Earth?
Well, I mean, with my doomsday predictions, as far as that I'm sure you remember very well, we're going to pay and get killed by our own dollar.
Mm.
You know, that's what that's hinging on, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact of the matter is it figures. But see, we, you know, it's the governments. And this is the same in any country around the world. It isn't the people. It's the governments. But the people will suffer. We will suffer because of the sins of our government.
Yes, our owners are going to do whatever the hell they want, and we're not going to be able to do anything about it except for continue on our march towards freedom and the abolition of this organization of violence that literally ends people's lives.
A good example of this is as I said, I would say to Israel, I'm going to walk away from you. We have no reason to have any involvement with you anymore. This is not a strategic military location anymore. That's gone.
Yep.
So we're going to part our ways. No, here comes good old Uncle Joe. We're going to defend Israel. And I understand the PRBS. You know, but maybe for once, Ricky, we would say something different.
Ricky, can you name me a high-level politician in America that does not back Israel? No,
well,
you can't. There isn't one on either party.
Well, wasn't Barack Obama very standoffish against Israel?
No!
And he got
he found Israel through slush funds. Come on.
Yeah, no, Barack Obama supported Israel exactly as much as George W. Bush did before him. Exactly as much.
This is much worse. This is worse than it was before as a strategic military situation. The fact of the matter is that's gone. This is all religion to pander to Christians in this country for votes.
Yeah.
Because we're the largest block of voters. We got to pander.
Well, I would say no. I mean, I would say let's roll with the punches. And I think in this case, I think that people are just going to suck it up. And I mean, we could spin things any way we want, you know, but nobody's willing to take the chance that the Christians in this country will say, oh, you know what? It's okay, guys. We understand.
Yeah, there. You know? I mean, we can look to the past for what's going to happen in the future when it comes to what the animal known as the state is going to do, government, right? That's what I mean by the people, you know, calling themselves governments, are going to fearmonger people into supporting armed conflict.
That's what they do best.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I'll tell you, and I can't say this more times than I can now, and that's all the state is for all the people listening that don't understand it. All the state is a strong arm extension of the federal government, plain and simple, and it's something that people shouldn't forget.
Well, I'm totally confused. I don't know what you mean by the difference between the state and the federal government.
I'm saying the state is a strong-arm extension of the federal government.
They're one and the same,
though. There's a confusion.
Well, so
that's what
so
that
if I say that I am an extension of myself, that doesn't make any sense, Ricky.
Because because they are one and the same. And the Fed loves to hide behind the state. That's how it operates.
The Fed is the state. Are you talking about like the United States as different entities from the Federal Reserve? Because the common term for government is state. They practice statecraft. They practice statism at the federal level.
That's what I'm referring to. The state is an entity unto itself. I mean, I know here in Pennsylvania how that operates. Now, the state is very foreign here, more or less, but it's very obvious when they play their games. What the state will do is infiltrate county organizations and things like that, and it'll use with individuals, it'll use fear and intimidation,
right?
Tactics.
Mafia
That's
tactics.
What I call the state.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, well, one of the interesting things, I mean, if we're going to talk about how this is structured, is that there are a bunch of things that appear to be subsidiaries of the United States federal government, but in fact are exactly what the United States federal government answers to.
Mm.
And the top two on my list,
Federal Reserve,
and the intelligence apparatus,
which is not intelligent.
Yeah, like the CIA is kind of the, like, you know, the go-to on this,
it's
one, but it's
spy
way
apparatus.
Bigger than that. Yeah, it's the spy apparatus.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, once they've, you know, knocked off your leader, you know who the real boss is. So in 1963, we know for a fact, at that point, the CIA was in charge of the United States of America.
Which, by the way, because I just remembered it, the FISA thing has been renewed. For those of you who missed that.
And let me guess, they didn't do the one thing that would have been nice where they, like, require a warrant to spy on Americans?
Yeah, no, they didn't do that.
And in fact,
it's renewed until 2026.
And it was like a landslide win, bipartisans, everybody, all Democrats and a bunch of Republicans voted for it. I don't know about all, but like enough Democrats and Republicans all voted for it. There was a minority of people who opposed it, and the thing just went through. So if you were hoping that the United States government was no longer going to spy on its citizens, thanks for the call, Ricky, spy on its citizens, you are wrong. They're going to continue to do so. They love doing it, and so now you are the terrorist.
Congratulations, Mr. and Miss America.
And heaven help you if you rely on a judge for that power.
603-283-6160, hour number 3 of Free Talk Live, still to come.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.